tried to be as strong as I could with 100 to go. I definitely think I could have kicked a little sooner, but I thought I was maybe gaining on the girl ahead of me, so I didn't know if I was going too hard or not. But yeah, look, giving it off to her, I know I'm always giving it into safe hands, so look, definitely gaining good experience here.
This could be a first Irish goal since 1998 in Sonny O'Sullivan, and it will be. Mark Lee's in. It's gold for Ireland.
Chris, first of all, congratulations. Great first leg, and you're a European champion.
Yeah, stuff of dreams. I mean, as I was saying, we've all had our own individual journeys. We were all running since we were kids, and I don't know how many of us dreamed to be a European champion. I don't think I did. So to come out here today and do it, create that bit of history, is unbelievable, and it's just absolutely incredible.
A fourth medal for Ireland. It is the most successful European Championships ever for Ireland. 2 silver and 2 gold.
World class, we like the sound of that. Good afternoon. Welcome to Ocean FM Sport on this Sunday afternoon at the end of a momentous week in Irish athletics. This is Austin O'Callaghan, and the first segment of our programme today is coming to you live from the Arriva Auditorium in the heart of ATU Sligo. This is where silver medalist Lauren Cadden studied and trained around the athletics track, as well as many other athletics venues around the region. And about 3 minutes ago, she was greeted by about a crowd of 250 fans, connections and supporters in the main reception of ATU Sligo. And in a couple of moments' time, she'll be making her way up along with her family, friends, coaches, connections into the main lecture auditorium here in ATU Sligo, which is where we're seated. We're on our own. We haven't got a class to teach, but that will change in a few moments' time. So the crowd just coming in here to the Arriva Auditorium. We had a lovely welcome for Lauren and her family a short while ago in the main reception, and they posed for one big team photo, and there were a lot of them, about 250 fans and supporters and well-wishers here in ATU Sligo this afternoon, and they're now filing in here for the big Leaving Cert exam in the Arriva Auditorium. And they don't know we're live on the radio yet, but they'll know in just a couple of moments. And lots more connections and young supporters of all ages coming in as well. Ocean FM Sport live from the Arriva Auditorium in ATU Sligo to congratulate Sligo SC's Lauren Cadden on her European silver medal success. And shortly, we will try and get a chat in a few moments with the lady herself. And still they file in here. There's plenty of seats in the Arriva Auditorium, so there should be room for just about everybody. Remember, 2 gold and 2 silver for the Ireland team this week, including the 4x400 metres mixed relay team, which included another Sligo athlete, North Sligo's Chris O'Donnell. He's not back home this week. He, of course, has gone back to his base in Loughborough, still fine-tuning for next month's Paris Olympic Games. Lots of targets he's still trying to reach with that at the moment, but we will talk about Chris a little bit later on. In the meantime, I'm going to get a word here with one of Lauren Cadden's coaches. Come on in here. This is Dermot McDermott. Round of applause for Dermot. And the crowd are still filing in, so take your time, guys, and work your way in. Lauren Cadden's dad, ladies and gentlemen, told us a lovely story about Dermot McDermott many years ago when he was starting Lauren out running. The late Ray Flynn got her out doing a cross-country race out in Hazelwood or Colry many years ago as a kid, and she did quite well in that. But Dermot McDermott, the story goes, got a look at her and had a message for his dad, Michael. He says, "Michael, get her on the track." And they got her on the track. And the rest is history. So I'm wondering, Dermot McDermott, as Lauren's coach, did you see something all those years ago that the rest of us didn't?
Obviously, there was evidently talent there from the get-go. She was actually a decent cross-country runner. She actually won the school's cross-country, both county and Connacht's, but you could see the old pace and the turnover. And when she grew into her body, you knew she was going to take off.
Has this week caught you by surprise?
No, it actually hasn't. No, it's always been there. You roll back to when she was 15, she was third in the school's international. And you look at the two English girls that were ahead of her, they're both kind of 51-second 400-metre runners. So the natural graph from 300-metre running at that age is to become a very, 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 very good 400-metre runner. And the more and more she gets to learn and know the event, she's going to absolutely take off.
Yeah. And what has she got? What's her key characteristic, do you think?
She just doesn't really think about it too much. Like, you know, she used to think about it a bit. I think when she processes it, she's very, very, very good at kind of managing and getting the best out of herself. She's an merciful competitor. Like even off the track, like, you know, when we'd be on camp, we'd be always kind of doing all these kind of messing games, and it'll always end in rows because it's just so competitive with each other. Like, you know, it could be I spy, like, you know, or something, like, you know, and stuff. Like, you know, we play letters games and all these, like, you know, and it's all about winning, like, you know. So it's nice, it's a good trait.
I know talent is important in athletics, and good coaching clearly is important. You needed a bit of little luck and timing as well. Things have got to fall your way, and we know lots of athletes have stories where, you know, whether it's injuries or just unfortunate timing or team selections, but the stars were aligned for Lauren Cadden for these championships, were they?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, going into this year, I was kind of looking at two teams, mixed and women, going to world relays. You kind of knew that they were going to qualify for the Olympics, like, you know. So, it was all really kind of focusing on, you're kind of saying, probably seven women will be going. So, being in that mix and being in that fold all the time, like, you know. So, the year was kind of set out with that intent, like, you know, and doing a stint in the US, kind of just to kind of take out of that little bit of comfort to kind of deal with what's coming after and stuff like that, like, you know. So, and she's excelled in all areas, so.
Three of the four medals in Rome this week were in the 400 metres of some description, one lap sprint around the track. What are we putting in the water, whether it's men's running or women's running, when it comes to 400 metres?
I don't know. I suppose it's just a collective group. Like, you know, you had Phil Healy, who kind of set the trend on the female side, and it's just evolved. Like, you know, Rashida Lecky came along, moved up to 400 metre runner. Charlene Mosley stepped up her game. And then you have Sophie Becker, Lauren Cadden, and a whole entourage following, like, you know. So it's like, it's so, so competitive right now. It's off the charts, and they're all just driving each other on, like, you know, and it's absolutely so fruitful for all that follow. Like,
I see a lot of younger supporters in here today. They may be athletes themselves at Sligo AC or Corran AC or West Sligo AC or North Sligo AC, etc. This must make your job and other coaches' jobs a lot easier now, because you can bring them to the training on the cold, wet morning and say, listen, if you want to be like Lauren Cadden, off you go.
Absolutely, yeah. No, like, I think, like the coaching structure that we have in the group is, like, you know, the younger kids are learning off the olders, like, you know. So basically, you come down to the track on a Wednesday, there's five or six different sessions going on, but they're all kind of older athlete-led, and I'm just kind of prescribing the training and just casting an eye over the different groups and sticking the watch on, like. So it's quite a handy little kind of structure that we have set up, and they all learn off the best, like, so.
I think you do a little bit more than that, Dermot McDermott. You're underselling yourself there a little bit. He was in Paris at the Paralympic qualifiers on Friday, watching Lauren's race on a laptop, or last Wednesday, doing about nine different things to us. And there are many other coaches in this room and in Sligo who do the same as well. And we're now seeing the fruits of your labour. Dermot McDermott, thank you very much. Right, for the mums and dads and boys and girls who just sat in, we are live on the radio right now. If you didn't know that, I want to make you aware we're live on Ocean FM on Sport right now for this special celebration for our next guest, who's waiting patiently here in the entranceway, wearing a tricolour around her shoulders. And why wouldn't she? I'd say she's got less sleep this weekend since she came home than in Italy last week. Please welcome your European Athletics silver medalist, Lauren Cadden. Welcome, Lauren. And she has the silver medal draped around her neck. Hold it up there, we can get a proper look at it. It's a standing ovation in the Arriva Auditorium for Lauren Cadden. And well deserved. It's a fine piece of metal, I have to say. It's as big a medal as I've seen. It puts the Olympic medal to shame, nevertheless. It's pretty impressive stuff. And you thought, Lauren Cadden, you were going to have a nice, quiet weekend where you could put the feet up, kick back, sleep on the sofa, and catch up on some rest.
Yeah, I did, and it's been far from that. I think I'm running off adrenaline rather than sleep at the minute, but I wouldn't change it. As everyone has reminded me, like, these moments are so rare, and I may never get this again, so I'm trying to soak it all in, but as we all know, there is a bigger picture coming up, so I have to keep the training going.
Has it sunk in what you've achieved last Wednesday?
No, definitely not. Like, I think I look at the medal sometimes and I'm like, oh God, it's actually mine. Like, this is my first time seeing Dermot today, and I think that kind of re-emphasised everything that we've done. Obviously, he's been there with me through thick and thin. He's stuck by me through a lot of lows, maybe not too many highs, so thanks. But yeah, no, it hasn't sunk in. Like, I don't know if it will for a while. It's definitely upped my confidence, I think, and it's made me back myself that a little bit more. I think that was something that I really wanted to try to do this season, was to believe in myself. Dermot mentioned the stint in the States. That didn't go to plan. And I came away from that being like, right, will you either kick on from that and forget about it and show yourself in outdoors, or you let it get to you? And I think I've done the first option, and I've came away and I've just been like, this is everything you've worked for, and I'd like to think I deserve it. So just keep working.
You spoke about the lows. Does this sort of achievement make it all worthwhile? Like, when you know, when the dust eventually settles, will you be able to kind of take stock and say, yeah, all that hassle was worth it?
Yeah, it does now. I actually had a session this morning, and I was with Brian. I don't know where he is, and the session was rough, but I was like, it makes it worth.
For people listening at home, who is Brian?
Brian Cullinan. I think he's here. I don't know where he is. There he is. Yeah. He was doing the session with me, and we were both lying on the track afterwards, dying. He was like, that medal is worth it though, Lauren. And it is. Like, there was lows. This time last year, I was injured. And mentally, I think it's harder than physically. Like, last year, I think I was in quite good shape, and then I got injured. And it's like, you put in so much work, and then it's just kind of taken away from you. So this time last year, I was like, right, just keep doing the rehab, like, believe in yourself and you'll be back. So the lows are low, but the highs make it worth it.
See, to the outsider, and again, the untrained eye, some of us might think you've had a cracking season. You won another Irish Inter-Varsities title. You broke a record that had stood for 25 years. You set a new PB in Salamanca. This girl, outwardly, is flying.
Yeah, definitely. Look, outdoors has went well. Am I satisfied? A little bit, like, but I know that there's more there. Like, I rang Dermot after my split in Rome, and I was like, I'm happy with it, but I want more. Like, I feel like as an athlete, you always will want more. This outdoor season has started really well. Indoors didn't. So, as I said, I knew I had to come into outdoors and be ruthless. I think last year when I was injured, I might have lost that ruthless side a little bit. So I knew I had to get it back to go out. And, like, as Dermot said, I am very competitive. So I like to go out and give them my all, and I am getting that side back. So,
can I talk to you about Rome and the championships themselves? When did you hear you were definitely running in the semi-final?
The night before. I got a phone call at about 11:30. I was about to get into bed. The relay coach had said, give me a ring if you're going to bed, or give me a text if you're going to bed. And I was like, right, I'll just give it a few minutes. And he rang me and he's like, you're in. So I text my family, I text Dermot, I think I text some of my friends, because I don't really like to make a big fuss about it. I like to try to stay grounded. I know I have a job to do. And then, yeah, that was it.
Did you sleep?
A little bit. Yeah, I did. Like, obviously, I knew going to sleep. Like, you're waking up in the morning and you're running your first ever Europeans. I missed my European juniors because I was injured. So, like, it was a very big deal for me. But I stood on that track and I felt like I was at home. I felt like I belonged there. And
did you really, to be leg three, first time in a Europeans, did you feel comfortable out there?
I actually did, yeah. I did surprise myself at how comfortable I did feel. Like, I was very nervous, I won't lie. I think that's normal, though. You want to give it your best shot. Bahamas, I think, it helped a lot, because that was World Relays, and I ran there. And I was told you looked like you belonged there. So then I was like, right, well, if people are telling me that, then I must have done something right. So I stood out in that track in Rome with the girls, and I was like, you have a job to do here, so go out and do it.
And then we get to the final, and obviously Rashida Adeleke, who is a world star, she's available now for the relay, so no one's going to begrudge if she gets a place on the team. It becomes a question of who she's going to replace. And talk me through the day of a final, because I gather the decision might not be made until as late as warming up beforehand. If somebody feels slightly off, whether it's a tummy bug or a tight hamstring, they could make a call and say, right, she's out, you're in. Is it as last minute as that?
Yeah, it is. So I do the whole warm-up, or I did the whole warm-up with the girls. I spiked up, I did baton changes, did all my runs as if I was running, because, as you said, if one of the girls went into the first call room, which is at the top of the warm-up track, and felt off, they pull the plug and I'm in. So you prepare as if you're running. And I think that is the only attitude you can have. You have to wake up in the morning. Even going over to the championships, regardless when I knew if I was running or not in that semi-final, I went out there with the intention of, I am running, and be ready.
So you were the fifth, you weren't starting. When the final started, we're all throwing teacups at the telly at home watching this race. People in the stand are jumping up and down. Where were you watching the final?
We were in the stadium when the girls come to 200 in. We were up there watching them.
Oh, in the stand?
In the stand, yeah.
You could get up and cheer.
Yeah. And I actually think watching it was more stressful than running. Because it's so out of your control. You don't know what's going to happen. And we were all on the edge of our seats. But I think once they stood foot on the track, we all had a very good feeling. But it's also a relay and it's sport and anything can happen. So.
But the right thing did happen, a medal.
Yes, the right thing definitely did happen. And then we saw the girls when they came out of the mix zone. And
it strikes me you get on well. I'm sure there's competitiveness between you. You race against each other domestically. But, I mean, you obviously clicked together as a group.
Yeah, as a team, we all do get on very well. And we all pull the best out of each other, whether it's racing against each other or racing together. And I think it's now got to the point where, you know, other countries are seeing Ireland on the team sheet and they're like, oh God, it's Ireland. Whereas, I suppose, a few years ago, it might have been that we might have been in some races and people would have thought, you know, you're just filling the lane. But now we're going out there and we are challenging and we obviously are coming away with medals. So it's surreal. And I'm honestly so grateful to just be a part of this fold and to be a part of this team and doing what we're doing.
Can you answer why 400 metres is clicking so well now for Irish athletes, male or female? Have you an answer to that?
I don't know. I think it's everything that Dermot said as well. Like, obviously, there's something clicking right. It's so competitive at the minute between the men and the women. Obviously, everyone knows what's at stake this summer, so everyone is trying to be in the best possible shape. I suppose it's a mix of speed and endurance. You have to be good at both. That last 50 is rough, so.
I mean, you're a more than distant, decent 200 metres sprinter, for example, but 400 metres is home for you now, is it?
Yeah, I think so. As Dermot said, I won that 300 in schools. And I actually used to love racing 300s, but there never really was that many races. I definitely am a strong runner, so I think the four definitely suits me. Dermot did try to make me move earlier than I did, and I gave him a little bit of hassle, I think. I would have done one or two and maybe jogged them. So I think once I made the move then, I actually did my first one last year indoors and it went shocking. I was like, I'm not doing that again. And then 2 weeks later, I did another one and I ran 3 seconds faster. So I think it was more the mentality I had going into it 2 weeks later was, you got to go out and you got to go hard.
I'm going to take a step back now before I ask this next question. What about the Olympics?
Yeah, I think I'm getting that question a lot. Look, the team is going to be selected after National Seniors. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep doing me. There's a lot at stake. It's obviously the pinnacle of sport. Myself and Dermot sat down to start the season and we tried to plan things. And look, I'm going to do me. I know I'm in very good shape. I know I can go faster than what I have. So, yeah.
I'm not asking you for any prediction and it wouldn't be fair to. You know, I mean, this might be a bit soon, but I mean, you'd be trying to qualify for the mixed relay squad. Is that what you're aiming towards?
It'd be more the women's. The women's relay squad, yeah. Like, look, by right, it'll probably be 6 or 7 women that they're sending. But, like, the 400 is so competitive at the minute. Like, anyone can come out of anywhere and run a fast time, and that's all it kind of takes. Like, no one's spot is essentially safe. So, yeah.
Well, whatever happens, we wish you luck, whether it's Paris or a later major national or international championships, Lauren. Let's finish by taking it back to where it all started. You're a graduate now of ATU Sligo, isn't that right? You studied here. Sligo AC was your nurturing ground for so many years, running on the track here at ATU Sligo, week in, week out. And I don't know, was there a running space for you in Dromard as a kid? Was it around Shamey Donegan Memorial Park? Where did you go for a run in West Sligo?
I actually sometimes did hills out at home on the road, up the mountain, on a few hills. And then the track obviously came. I'm not going to guess what year that came because I don't know. We did a few sessions there. During COVID, we would have went between the track at home and Ballina, sometimes travelling a little bit over the distance that was recommended, but, and then we also used Fort Hill. Okay. up the hill, which definitely made a big difference to training. I think being on the track really helped. We would use Union a bit as well. So yeah, we were going all around. It was kind of nice to mix it up as well, though. Get off the track as well and work on certain things. Yeah. So yeah,
it's been quite a journey.
It's been such a journey. I said to Dermot there a few days ago, like this time last year, the place I was in with running, like, because I knew I was in good shape, I just was really frustrated with injury. It was the second time that injury came back, so it was just really hard mentally. And now I look at where I am now, standing with a European medal around my neck, and I'm like, I think if one message I want to give to people, if you have a dream or you have a goal, like, go for it. People are going to doubt you along the way. I've had people doubt me. I've had comments made. But if you want it bad enough and you work for it, you can do it. Look, I'm not satisfied yet. I still want to do a lot more in this career. I'm so grateful that I've had the team around me, especially Dermot. He definitely doesn't give himself enough credit for everything he does. He was saying there, he just whacks a watch on people. He does a lot more than that. He gives kids opportunities that I've never seen anyone else give to people. He's given me opportunities that no one else has ever even given me. He's believed in me in times that I don't think I've believed in myself. And I know for a fact, he would probably say it's not true, but I would not be standing here with this medal around my neck if he was not in my life.
We're going to let you sit down now because you've been standing all weekend. One last question. Did the Sligo medal winners get a chance to get together in Rome this week? Because you weren't the only medal winner from this neck of the woods.
We did. Chris was down to watch the women's 4x4 final. I actually hadn't saw his gold medal until I got my medal. So we reunited. We got pictures and stuff. He had his medal with him so we could get photos together.
You were able to clink them together,
yes,
were you?
We were comparing them, which one we thought was nicer. I still think the silver is, but I'll let Chris have the gold at the moment.
You can keep arguing that for a while yet. Lauren Cadden, European silver medalist, thank you very much.
Happy Father's Day.
Lauren, well done. And we're going to talk about Chris O'Donnell in just a second. But I want to have a quick word with Michelle Glacken from ATU Sligo, who's the registrar here at the Institute and has kindly facilitated today's little celebration for Lauren and her supporters and connections. Michelle, you must be proud as punch of the reflected glory for ATU Sligo. Oh,
absolutely. And for ATU, absolutely. Who wouldn't want Lauren to be a role model? I mean, all our students, we're proud of all our students, but Lauren is a role model. She really epitomised what it's like to get up. She shows such resilience, she's such vision, and the words she said, you could not sum up for students. I mean, get up, get goal, have your vision. Things won't all go right. You know, when you arrive in the first day in college, it doesn't necessarily go right for everybody, but you keep going, and she's shown that. She's shown that hard work achieves your dream. And I suppose my father always used to say, it's the only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. And she shows that. Like, you know, she's done the work, she's got the success. So we are absolutely delighted. And on behalf of the president, she couldn't be here today, she would have been. I mean, we're just so delighted. And there's nearly 30,000 of us now between students and staff. So she has all that we're cheering. There was such a buoyancy in the college last week because we were all so excited. And if she goes off to Rome. But we've always been following her anyway because when IT Sligo, I mean, she was coming through. So we've known Lauren for years. And she really represents the college. And she represents what it's like to be young and have ambition. And we're just so proud of her.
And one final thought. This gives sport a lovely bounce in the university, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure the staff that's here today are absolutely delighted because I am also so proud of, say, the lecturing staff that's here in the university because most of their work is done on top of their teaching and they really help our students. We have a scholarship programme and, of course, Lauren is one of our sports scholarships, our scholars. So we would have given out 186 sports scholars this year from everything, from karate to athletics to motor racing. And I mean, this is just wonderful. And, you know, it just gives everybody else a bounce. So, it absolutely. God knows what we'll get now, Lauren. We might get a vision called the Lauren Cadden Vision with a bit of luck. We love that.
Michelle Glacken, Registrar of ATU Sligo. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, Michelle mentioned the lecturing staff here. A few of them have a keen athletics interest, and I'm going to have a quick word with one of them now because I used to work here in ATU Sligo for a couple of years, and this next guest said to me about a decade ago, have a look at this guy out on the track. He's going places. He could do something. He was training a young guy from Grange in North Sligo called Christopher O'Donnell. And a decade later, we all know what he's done in the last couple of World Championships and now European Championships with the 4x4 mixed relay squad. He leads the ATU Sligo Athletics Club at the moment. He came very close to qualifying for the Olympics himself in 1984 for the 800 metres. Could have happened, but for injury and one or two other things. So let's have a quick word with Chris O'Donnell's home coach and lecturer in sport with business at ATU Sligo, Roddy Gaynor. Roddy is here. You can tell us why Chris isn't home this weekend, first of all.
Well, I know what Dermot's thinking right now. Let's get all these festivities over so Lauren can get back proper training. I can tell you that Chris has already got the head down and he's training this weekend and he's racing again on Wednesday and he's racing again next week. He's racing Wednesday in Belgium and next weekend in Geneva. So,
because Paris is on the horizon there. He's trying to get the A qualifying standard for the 400.
Correct, yeah. He's in the point. He's in the ranking system to qualify in the individual 400, but it's really, really difficult. So in all likelihood, he's going to have to run the actual qualifying standard, which means he's going to have to break 45 seconds for the 400 metres. So it's a big, big challenge. But he's up for it. He showed terrific form this week in Rome, particularly in his individual race, coming so quickly after the mixed 4x4 race. So he's got a great chance, you know. Okay,
yeah. Were you surprised by the gold medal? You probably weren't, knowing him as you do.
A bit what Dermot said earlier on, no, I was not surprised. We've been targeting the relays now for a few years. We've got such ability amongst our athletes. On the men's side, you know, a lot of people in the audience might remember David Gillick. He was the first guy to break through in the 400s, winning major championship gold medals. And you know, that started off, and then we've got other people come along. So Chris obviously really wanted this for the last 10 years. He's been so dedicated in terms of preparation. The new relay, that mixed relay, has just been a game changer for athletics. It's a very, very exciting race. And so when you are able to throw in who will be, in my opinion, a future world champion, Rashida, and Charlene Mosley as lifter, and then we've got the likes of Tom Barr with the massive experience he has. Yes, we were always in the mix. And I think people have to appreciate coming up against the teams that they competed against in Rome this week were off the charts in terms of their standard, the Dutch in particular. And we beat them all, you know.
What finally do you think this sends out message-wise about Sligo athletics, that we have two medalists at the elite level of international athletics?
I think it's fantastic, and I just want to really recognise the work of my good friend Dermot, who has been unbelievable, like a tour de force in terms of putting so many young people into the sport here. And as it may not surprise you, very few come to the top. That's the nature of elite sport. We have many who will try, but the ones who can have that extra bit of dedication, people have to appreciate that Lauren is sitting here in front of you after working daily for about the last 10 years. And that's what it takes, you know, and that dedication, that drive. So it's brilliant what's happening now, us getting the really significant international success. I believe it'll be a fantastic recruiter for our sport, and we need this. The other thing is, I mean, obviously the sport, it struggles with the funding side of stuff, and like you got someone like Chris O'Donnell, who's a full-time athlete in the UK. He gets a grant from Sport Ireland, but you know he's at the level he's at. He's got no sponsors. You know, and this is difficult. So for them to stay involved in their sport, we're hoping now with this fantastic success that's happened this week that extra bit of financial support would come in behind and start rivaling some of the resources we see that goes into the GAA and some of the other team sports.
Which will be music to the ears of some of our best athletes in the country. Roddy Gaynor, insightful as always. Thank you very much. And congrats to Greg. Please put your hands together one last time for Lauren Cadden, your silver medalist.
It's a-